But take your Bibles, let's go to James chapter 2, verse 14 to 26. Early in my ministry, let's see how long I've been preaching. What's 1990 to now? That's 30 years, right? I used to preach on Mother's Day, Father's Day, but I ran out of text. So I assumed I'm just going to go on with what I'm preaching on, okay? And no disrespect to mothers. I got to share with you a special present that our children gave my wife Saturday. I had her gone from the house for a while, and they come and set her up a 4x4 above ground flower garden, and appreciate all that everybody played in that. And boy, I tell you what, her heart melted when they got her back home, and she was on the phone with one of y'all, I can't remember who it was, and I kept trying to say, get off. I want to show you, you know, and so I showed her to look out the back kitchen window, and she saw it, and boy, the reaction on her face, I tell you what, I think that was the best Mother's Day gift she's ever gotten, I believe, and one of the best, okay. Y'all get that, right? She wants more next year, right? But James chapter 2, verse 14 through 26, we're in a series on the book of James, Belief That Behaves, and we come to a section that I'm going to entitle, Can a Workless Faith Save? And James answers that question for us in our text. Now, I want to just read one verse, and then we're going to read the other verses as we go along, because this is the question that he raises in chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith, and have not works, can faith save him? In the Greek, that means, can that kind of faith save him? Of course, the answer is no. And James uses the rest of these verses to answer that question. Can a workless faith save a person? A workless faith is nothing other than a worthless faith, in verse 20 and 26. Now, I want you to note two words in verse 14 before we get into our outline. It's that word works. Look in verse 14. What doth it profit, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Now, what are we talking about there when we talk about works? We're talking about good works. We're talking about things that come from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and live through our lives. We're talking about fruit. We're talking about evidence, signs of spiritual life. And if there are no signs of life, that means there is no life, right? Now, saving faith is entrusting your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and surrendering to Him in commitment and disobedience. Now, we just ruled out a lot of church members right there, right? What is saving faith? And then I noticed another word, that word saying in verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith? You know, there's a difference between saying and doing. And that we see that same concept in 1 John chapter 1. If a man say. So there's a difference between professing salvation and possessing salvation. Now I want to divide this text up into two parts, two main divisions, a dead faith and a living faith. Let's look at a dead faith, first of all, in verses 14 through 20. And we see, there's four faults I want to share with you that I believe James uses to say this faith is dead. Now, first of all, in verse 14, a mere profession is not enough. We know that from the scribes and Pharisees, don't we? A person can confess something, but their life doesn't back it up, right? I believe totally, and have always preached, and I always preach it to the day I go home and the day I leave this earth, whatever happens to me, that there are such things as empty professions, and that is a lost man. He's not talking about a person with real faith here, but one who says they have faith. A faith without works is dead, chapter 1, verse 22. Works follow genuine faith and are the fruits or the signs of spiritual life. Now, Wednesday night, we're going to be talking about the doctrine of regeneration. We're on the third aspect of the doctrine of salvation. Regeneration, born again, new life, new evidence of life, regeneration. And so this is what he's saying right here. Notice what, let me read it to you, what Jesus said in John chapter 2, verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Now, we stopped right there and said, well, they all believed. But notice what Jesus said in verse 24, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Do you understand what Jesus is saying right there? He is saying there is a faith that doesn't save.
Yeah, that's right.
There is a faith that doesn't save. So a mere profession is not enough. And then in verse 15, 16, faith without works are inseparable. Notice what James says. If I go through this passage and I call James Paul and Paul James, it's because they... because how we compare their teachings, okay? And I don't really mean to do that. Now, notice verse 15 and 16. Faith and works are inseparable. Now, notice what it says in verse 2. So speak ye and do so, they shall be... Oh, am I on the right one? Oh, James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Yeah. If a brother or sister... and be naked, and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, and be warmed, and filled, notwithstanding you give those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? In other words, if you come across somebody in need, and just say, oh, brother, I'm praying for you. You know, I feel for your plight. That's what liberals do. That's how they control people. They act like they're sympathetic and compassionate, but they have not advanced any of the causes of these people that they suppress. Okay? So what I'm saying is faith and works are inseparable. A living faith that comes from God in our hearts will manifest itself toward those in need, real compassion. Real faith will bear fruit. I remember what John the Baptist said in John 3:10. And now also the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work reprobate. Boy, that's strong words, isn't it? Every good work reprobate. So a mere confession is not enough. A faith works are inseparable, but thirdly, in verse 17, Paul and James do not contradict each other. Notice verse 17. Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. You say, wait a minute. Paul told us that we're justified before God by faith alone, grace alone through faith alone, and that is correct. And so, is there a contradiction here? That's what verse 17 says. That even so, if it have not works, is dead being alone. Now, Paul says we don't obtain salvation by the works of the law, but he tells us that we are saved by faith alone, but not a faith that is alone. Let me tell you what each others are teaching here, Paul and James, because I've got into these kind of discussions. You know, Paul says, shows us how we're justified before God by grace through faith. James tells us how we demonstrate that faith to other people, right? Now, Paul is writing to those who thought works saved, while James says works prove our faith. I believe this, that in the context of James, he's writing to Hebrew Christians, and they hadn't been long out of Judaism, and I believe that they were trying every effort not to be associated with works righteousness. Because they had just come out of a system that taught that. Now they're taught that salvation is by grace through faith alone. So I believe that's why he's writing it. Now, Paul talks about declared righteousness, while James talks about demonstrated righteousness. True faith produces works. Paul starts with the lost, while James starts with professing Christians who had just come out of Judaism. And you know what Ephesians 2:8-9 says. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And I taught the church Wednesday night, you have grace, faith, and works. You can't get them out of order, right? We're saved by grace, we're saved by faith, and we're saved unto good works, not by works. And I shared with the church Wednesday night that grace extended, faith exercised, and works expressed. That's how it goes. John Calvin said, we are saved by faith alone, but not a faith that is alone. In fact, the text tells us, if you're just depending on that, you're not going to make it, because you demonstrate your faith is real by your works. Right? Everybody on guard with me this morning. Okay. So a mere profession is not enough. Faith and works are inseparable, and Paul and James do not contradict each other. And then lastly, as we look at this dead faith in verses 18 and 19, there is such a thing as a demonic faith. Notice what it says in verse 18 and 19. Yea, a man say, there it is again, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Yes. Now notice verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. How about that? The devils also believe and tremble. Demons know that God exists. They don't fear him. That belief doesn't come over into their heart, into action. It doesn't move them to obedience, right? But the devils know that God exists. Okay? Now here's a thought. I want you to bank this away for some other time. Demons know more and believe more than the atheist. Right? And most Baptists sitting in the pew, right? And definitely most liberals. So let me review here. There are three marks of a dead faith. An empty profession, verse 14. A false compassion, verses 15 and 17. And a shallow conviction, in verses 18 through 20. That's another outline I could have used. So can workless faith save? Faith without works is dead. Secondly, not only a dead faith, we want to look at a living faith in verses 21 through 26. James uses two practical illustrations of two Old Testament saints, Abraham and Rahab. I used to call her Rehab, but I understood now it's R-A, right? Rahab. First of all, he uses the testimony of Abraham. Notice verse 21 through 24. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? When, underline that, when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? In other words, Abraham had faith, believed God, but it wasn't demonstrated in works, then his faith was not made complete, right? And he says this, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Now, why did James use Abraham as an illustration? Well, again, you got to look at these Jewish Christians. They revered Abraham. And apparently, like all through the book of the New Testament, you see the Jews brag about knowing Abraham. Abraham's our father. And they were boasting that they were Abraham's seed. So he might have used Abraham just for that. But Abraham was justified by faith and by works, verse 22 through 24. When he was willing to offer up his only son, Isaac, in Genesis chapter 22. And his faith was made perfect. Now, we see all through the Genesis account the faith of Abraham. Without faith, Abraham could have never done it, right? And without works, it would never have been done, right? Think about it. You say, I have faith, I have faith, I have faith. But let's see it, right? Let's see some proof of it, right? And what a man says and what he really believes, you know, there can't be a difference. And what you believe is going to come out in your life. And that's what he does. There is no contradiction between Paul and James. a person is only justified by the kind of faith that obeys God's commands. And faith provides salvation, while works proves that salvation. So Abraham was justified before God when he believed God in Genesis 15:6, when he was willing to leave Ur, when he was leaving Haran, and even when he was willing to offer up his son Isaac in Genesis 22, which is a picture of Christ, right? He was willing to do that. Why? If you read Genesis 22 closely, you see that he believed God would raise his son. Amen? Amen. So he believed God. And he demonstrated his faith by his works. Charles Ryrie, some of you have a Charles Ryrie study Bible here. If you have one, Brother Ray has one, I believe. I think Brother Marcus has one. I don't know. But he said this. Now, this is good stuff. This doesn't come from me. I'm not this smart. Faith and works are like a 2-coupon ticket to heaven. The coupon of works is not good enough for the passage, and the coupon of faith is not good if detached from works. He said both must be punched, right? We're saved by a faith that works. So we see the testimony of Abraham. And then he closes with a testimony of Rahab the harlot in verse 25. Notice that. And he's proving that dead faith is dead, right? It's a faith that works, okay? And he uses Rahab. Notice what he says in verse 25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Did you know that Rahab the harlot, the story is in Joshua 2, but also she's listed as the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. How would you like to go through life? Brother Glenn, you might shed some light on this sometime. But how would you go through life being referred to as Ken, the extortioner? Or Faye? I'll be careful of my words here, right? Faye, the bank robber. All right, you know what I'm saying? She's referred to as Rahab the harlot, even though she was a woman of faith and forgiven. I don't understand that. Maybe somebody deeper than me can understand that. But Rahab was a female Gentile pagan prostitute, while Abraham was Jew. You see the contrast? She believed God, and she proved her faith. The story is in Joshua 2. And she proved her faith by her works when she sent the spies out another way, right? And she's listed in the lineage of Christ in Hebrews chapter and other places as well. So she believed God and proved her faith by her works when she sent the spies out another way. Do you see it? Amen. Oh, yes, we're saved by faith alone, by grace alone, through faith alone. Yes. But if we're going to demonstrate the reality of our faith, there's going to be evidence. Okay? Again, this rules out a lot of people, a lot of professing Christians. Right? Close with verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I shared this with you a few weeks ago about, I'm a firm believer, I don't believe in soul sleep. And I know Glenn don't, and I know you don't. That when you die, your spirit and your body remain in the grave until a general resurrection at the end of tribulation. What's the Greek word for that, Tina? Hogwash, yeah. Okay. Our spirit and soul go to home to be with the Lord at the moment we die. That's what the text says, isn't it? For as the body without the spirit is dead, right? Are you telling me that we're burying people who are alive? If you believe in soul sleep, then you're saying we're burying dead people, right? Because it says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So we must conclude the answer to the question in verse 14. Can a workless faith save? Is certainly not. We must conclude that salvation is not by works, right? Nor by faith and works, right? But a faith that works. Salvation is by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone, but not a faith that is alone. As our musicians come this morning, all heads bowed, all eyes closed, I want to ask you a question, not only here, but those at home, anybody else that might be listening. How do you plan to get to heaven? How do you get planted? There are actually people who believe, even sitting in our churches, that believe we're saved by works. How do you plan to get to heaven? It's not by works, right? He said this right here in this text. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, that works. What about by faith alone apart from works? Well, James answers that question, doesn't he? Faith without works is dead. Well, you say, well, I want to get to heaven by faith and works. No, it don't work that way. It's a faith that works. Only go to heaven by a faith that works. Grace alone, through faith alone, repenting in your sin. When grace is extended to you, you believe the gospel, you embrace Christ, he comes into your life, you believe in him, you trust him, you commit your life to him, and then you live for him, giving evidence of your faith as being real. That's how you get to heaven. That's the only way. If you're trusting in works alone, you're not going to get there. If you're trusting in faith and works, you're not going to get there. But if you're trusting in a faith that works, then you'll make it. We want to give you that opportunity this morning to respond in obedience. The altar is open. Maybe you need to kneel there at your home, right where you live, while you're listening with your family and you're dressed up, ready to go to church. Consecrate this time to the Lord. And you respond as the Lord leads. Father, have your will and way, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Invitation, yeah.